This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى He did not create us uselessly without any purpose. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Do you think that we have created you uselessly without any purpose and that you would not be returning to us? And so even though this is the case and even though most of us realize it and know it for a fact, and we believe in it, the reality is that most of us are living lives of heedlessness. And so the clock is ticking away until it will be too late. And before we know it, we will come to the realization that we wasted most of our lives. And then we will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. The day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes يَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ وَفْتَى. On the day that we will gather the people of taqwa, we will gather them as an honorable delegation. وَنَسُوقُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ وِرْدَى. And as for the criminals, we will drag them on that day to the hellfire in a thirsty state. However, my dear brothers and sisters, among the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were a people who took it seriously. They were heedful and conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, driven by their desire for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the righteous and the people of taqwa. And so they were a people who put forward the desire of Allah over their own personal desires, and they worked hard in diligence, in patience, sacrificing everything that they had to earn what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they are those who crave the reward of Allah. They are those who craved and were thirsty for Jannah, and they worked hard to attain it. And so let us hear some of the stories of those individuals from the best of generations, the generation of the companions radiallahu anhum.
Our first example comes from a story of an orphan boy who wanted to build a wall between his house and the house of his neighbor. And so as he was building this wall, a tree came in the way. And this tree belonged to his neighbor. And so he could not continue building unless he was able to cut the tree down or include it in his property. So he went to his neighbor and asked him, but the neighbor refused. And so he said to him, you have many trees. Why don't you just give me this one tree? He refused. So the orphan, he had no other choice but to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his complaint. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam summoned the neighbor and asked him, why don't you give him the tree? So the neighbor, he said, no, it's my right. I don't want to give it to him. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, give him the tree in exchange for a tree in Jannah. However, even that wasn't enough for this man. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not do anything more. He couldn't take the rights of others. And so the orphan was saddened by this situation. But among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who were present in that gathering was a companion who went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his name was Abu Dahdah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, if I buy that tree, will I have the same offer of a tree in Jannah? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. And so Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu, he went to that man and he said, do you know about my orchard? And so Abu Dahdah was famous in Medina for a garden that he had, a huge orchard of date palm trees. It is said that there were 400 to 600 trees on his property. Not only that, but he also had a beautiful house that he and his wife and his family used to live in. And so the man said, yes, of course. We all know about your orchard. So Abu Dahdah said to him, the orchard is yours as long as you give me that tree. And so the man looking at Abu Dahdah, he said, are you crazy? One tree in exchange for your entire orchard. Abu Dahdah said, yes. And so the man agreed. And Abu Dahdah gave him his orchard. After that, Abu Dahdah goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He goes to the orphan. He says, the tree is yours. And then he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, do I now have my tree in Jannah? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how many trees for Abu Dahdah in Jannah? And he kept on repeating that. And it didn't end there. Abu Dahdah then went to his family. He went to his house and he called his wife to come out. That's it, we've sold this property. She asked him, who have you sold it to? For what price? He said, for a tree in Jannah. What was her reaction? They were about to be homeless. What was her reaction? She said, Allahu Akbar. What a great deal you have made, O Abu Dahdah. And so they left all of that behind. And they lived after that a very simple life. Later on, in one of the great battles that took place in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Battle of Uhud, in which the Muslims were caught off guard and only a handful of the Sahaba remained steadfast with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the end, Abu Dahdah was fearlessly until he was martyred. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the battle came to see his companions who were martyred, he found the body of Abu Dahdah. And so when he saw his body, he said, "O Abu Dahdah, now how many trees do you have in Jannah?" And so this was a practical example of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when he says, "Man dhalladhi yuqridu Allah qardan hasanan fayudha'ifahu lahu adha'afan kathira." Who will lend to Allah a good loan so that Allah could multiply it for him in multitudes? What did Abu Dahdah lose? And what did he gain? He lost some property in this dunya. He lost some trees. He lost some material wealth. But the question is, what did he get in return? And so these were a people. These were a people. These were a people who were thirsty for what Allah had in store for them. And so they worked hard until they attained the reward of Allah. Our second example comes from the Battle of Badr, a very decisive battle in the history of Islam, when the Muslims went out unprepared, having no experience whatsoever in military warfare, being outnumbered, being outweaponed. And so when they reached the battlefield, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands to Allah, begging him for his victory and his aid. Then he turned to the companions, wanting to lift their momentums and their spirits. He turned to them and he said, stand up for a Jannah that expands the heavens and the earth. And then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, by him in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad, whoever fights facing the enemy, not turning their backs, no matter how bad the battle becomes, no matter what, he doesn't turn his back fleeing, for him is Jannah. And so one of the companions, by the name of Umair ibn al-Hammam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, is it really as wide as the heavens and the earth? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. And so at that time, this companion, Umair radiallahu an, he had some dates in his hand that he was chewing. He looked at them and he said, by Allah, it would be too long of a life if I was to eat these dates and finish them. He said, there's no time to lose. What am I doing? And so he threw the dates and charged against the enemy and fought until he was martyred. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he is in Jannah. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, these were people who craved Jannah, and they did everything that they could to attain it, and they did not hesitate. They did not waste any time to get there. And so these were a people who not only did certain great acts that we have seen examples of, but they were also a people who stayed away from certain things. They were a people who showed patience. And patience in our deen is required in three cases. Firstly, over the commandments of Allah, over-worshipping Allah. Allah has told us to do certain things. We need to be patient and do those things. And secondly, patience when it comes to refraining from that which Allah has forbidden. Exercising patience and not doing what Allah has made haram. And thirdly, patience over adversity. Patience over the misfortunes, the calamities that Allah decrees for us. And so in this next example, we have an example of a Sahabiyah, a woman who showed that kind of patience. And so there was a woman in Medina who Allah had tried and tested with a certain illness. She had epilepsy. And so she would have seizures. She would have these seizures that would cause her to be lonely. Everyone would stay away from her. No one would want to be around her. People would make fun of her. The kids would laugh at her. So what is her story? Later on, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the great companion, he says to his student Atta ibn Abi Rabbah, he says to his student, do you want to see a woman from the people of Jannah? And so his student, he said, yes, of course. What do you mean, a woman from the people of Jannah? And so Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, look at that woman over there. Do you see that black woman? He said, she is from the inhabitants of Jannah. She's still alive, but she has been promised Jannah by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, this woman, she used to have seizures. And as a result, her hijab would come off and she would become exposed. So she went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I would like you to pray to Allah for me to cure me of this illness. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being the compassionate messenger that he was, he said, if you want, I could do that. If you want me to pray to Allah for your cure, I can do that and Allah will cure you. But then he presented another option for her. He said, or if you want, you could be patient and live with this for the rest of your life in exchange for Jannah. Your reward will be nothing but Jannah, guaranteed Jannah. And so these were the two options before her. Most of us would probably choose the first. Why? Because we want relief. We want a comfortable life. We don't want difficulties in our lives. We don't want to be patient. Not only that, but we don't have certainty in our hearts about the promise of Allah and what awaits the servants of Allah in the Akhirah. But that was not the case for that generation. And so this woman, she said, Ya Rasulullah, I choose the first option. I will be patient. However, when I have these seizures, I become exposed. My hijab comes off. So pray to Allah for that not to happen. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for her for that not to happen. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min al-ayati wadh-dhikr al-hakim aqulu ma tasma'un واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله على إحسانه والشكر له على توفيقه وامتنانه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له تعظيما لشأنه وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الداعي إلى رضوانه صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وإخوانه وخلانه ومن سار على نهجه واقتفى أثره إلى يوم الدين فاتقوا الله عباد الله حق التقوى وراقبوه في السر والنجوى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. These were stories of a few of many of a people who believed in the promise of Allah and His Messenger, a belief of unwavering certainty causing them to love Allah and to be thirsty and crave for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised His believing servants. And so they did everything that they could to attain it, not lingering behind, not being slow to move, but putting in everything that they had, putting in everything that they had in exchange for it. My dear brothers and sisters, the reward of Allah is not something cheap. It is something valuable, something expensive. Valuable commodities come at a very high price. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alluding to this fact, he said, "Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliyah," that the product of Allah is expensive. What is the product of Allah? What is it that Allah is offering to us? And what is it that those few went into this transaction with Allah and they earned and they bought that product of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliyah, ala inna sil'ata Allahi al-jannah." That the product of Allah is expensive, and the product of Allah is Jannah. My dear brothers and sisters, after we have heard these stories, we need to do some self-reflection, and we need to ask ourselves, do we crave Jannah like they did? Where do our priorities lie? What do we crave, and why? We need to ask ourselves, what is it that we crave in our lives? And why? Do we crave what we have in this dunya? What we may have or what we may not have? Or do we crave what Allah is offering to us that we don't see today, but He has told us of it? We all know and we all believe in Jannah. We know and we believe that it is real. But why is it that most of us do not crave it like they did? Our desire for this dunya is greater. Why? Because this dunya is before our eyes. We see it, we smell it, we touch it. Whereas the akhirah, it is something that we have been told about, but we cannot see it today. And that is the test that Allah sent us for, to see who will believe in the world of the unseen and strive for it and work hard for it, and who won't believe in that, or their belief in that will be weak. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to do some self-reflection, and we need to ask ourselves, what have we done? What have we done in our lives for the reward that Allah has promised? What have we sacrificed of our time, of our sleep, of our shahawat and our desires, of our wealth, of our sweat, of our blood? We need to ask ourselves, where we stand today before it is too late? And so as long as you are still breathing, you still have a chance. Don't be like those who Allah tells us about them. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. If only you could see the criminals when they are brought before Allah on that day with their heads down. رَبَّنَا رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَرُجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. They will say to Allah on that day, our Lord, now we see, now we hear, now we can see what we were told about and we disbelieved in the dunya. Now we can see it, now we hear. So send us back so that we can do some good deeds. Because now we believe. Inna muqinoon. Now we have certainty. But now it is too late. The difference between us and that generation was their level of yaqeen. For them, what they were told about of the akhirah, it was as if they could see it before their eyes today. But for us, and for many, we won't believe in anything until we can see it. And so it's time for us to wake up now. It's time for us to wake up now and get serious and work hard. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ. For this, meaning for Jannah, let those who want to work, let them work. لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. And in that, and for that, let those who want to compete, let them compete. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the inhabitants of Jannah and to grant us a tawfiq to do that which will help us to land in Jannah. هذا وصلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله على نبيكم محمد بن عبد الله كما أمركم بذلك ربكم جل في علاه فقال تعالى قولا كريما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد ورضى اللهم عن خلفائه الأربعة وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين وعنا معهم برحمتك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم اشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.